Get into today's message, I want to warn you in advance that some of the content in this series may be offensive at times, but that's okay, because growth at times requires growth pains. Prolonged immaturity is arguably the most underestimated enemy of God-given destiny. It's time to mature. So get ready for mature audiences only.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to a 9-week teaching series we've entitled Mature Audiences Only. Thank you so much for being a part of a worship experience today at Calvary Church. Mad props to those of you in person. I welcome those of you online or some other digital platform. We're so glad you're with us today. But grab your Bible, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want us to look at this together before we jump into this series. Romans 1, beginning at verse 17. That's what we'll look at. Verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith. By faith. A righteousness that is by faith. Not works. By faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Take one of your hands, if you will, set it on your heart. Church, I want you to say it out loud with all you got. Come on, say eyes to see. I can't hear you. Say eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess all the good things Christ has already provided for me. I want to warn you in advance, church, that the content of this series may at times feel offensive. But that's okay, because I've realized that growth requires growing pains. When we're born again, we are, as the Bible says, babes in Christ, and therefore, I would say, a degree of immaturity is to be expected. Watch. For a season. In fact, if you only have spiritually mature believers in the church, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, because it means that we aren't reaching new people with the gospel. However, the scriptures repeatedly caution us against the dangers of remaining immature. Prolonged immaturity is arguably the most underestimated enemy of God-given destiny. It undermines your progress. Hear me. It hinders your relationships. It prevents you from realizing your God-given potential. Listen to me carefully, church. The level of your impact will rarely rise above the level of your maturity. I'll say it again. The level of your impact will rarely ever rise above the level of your maturity. And let me be clear. Seniority does not equal maturity. Age alone doesn't necessarily indicate a spiritual development. The old saying that with age comes wisdom is not always true. How many of you know age just shows up all by itself? And I would say acquiring knowledge alone doesn't necessarily make one more mature. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 8, knowledge alone only puffs up. It produces pride, and pride, church, is one of the greatest hindrances to maturing in our identity in Christ Jesus. No, maturity is more than that. It isn't merely proven by what we know. It's evidenced in how we express the life of Christ in us to the world around us every single day. Now, yes, it's true that Jesus invites us to come to him. He says, like a child, which simply speaks of simple trust. We want to stay there in that place, a place of simple trust. But he doesn't expect us to stay like a child. In the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11, when I was a child, watch this, I'm coming back to this in the weeks to come. When I was a child, watch, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Watch, but when I became a man, matured, I put away childish things. You see, there's an old adage that says, you heard it, it's like taking candy from a baby. And it's meant to describe how easy it is to accomplish something or take advantage of someone because of their lack of awareness or their lack of maturity. And I think this illustrates all too well the dangers of remaining immature. Because when an adult grows older chronologically but does not mature emotionally and spiritually, then just like taking candy from a baby, it makes us easily deceived, easily offended, easily distracted. And I don't mean to mess with you today, but there is no doubt about it. The modern day church, the capital C church, is easily deceived, easily offended, and easily distracted, which speaks of our immaturity. If there is anything the last couple of years have exposed, it's the immaturity of the church. By the way, both its leaders and its followers. I've heard people say, you know, that COVID has been the cause. But the truth is, COVID has not caused anything. It simply exposed, watch, pre-existing conditions in many areas of our life. Our hearts, our relationships, our marriages, our money, and so on. It reveals we've got some growing up to do. Matter of fact, a few years ago, the ones I thought were the most mature, I realized were not. And the ones I didn't know had grown were more mature than they were. And in many ways, I think we've gone, sadly, to an infantilization of the church, to a simplification of the massive and monumental aspects of the gospel by emphasizing now the flashy and the experience and the always feeling good about it. And remember, building on feelings is building on quicksand. And on the flip side of the coin, however, I think there's good news, really good news, because in the presence of mature and maturing believers, you're going to find thriving relationships, you're going to find healthy marriages, you're going to find life-giving churches and loving families, you'll find joy, there's always going to be joy-filled men and women who aren't easily deceived, aren't easily offended, who are walking in their divine authority, living the abundant life they were meant to live. The gospel is what gives you your life back. You'll experience churches who are impacting the earth with spirit-led tenacity that, you know, elevate gospel truth over personal opinions and thoughts and ideas as they love well and as they serve well and as they gather well and as they give well and as they demonstrate this goodness for all the world to see. And this is my mandate as your shepherd. You've got to understand it. It's for all of these reasons and more that I think feel compelled and responsible to equip you at the beginning of this year with truth that will empower you. I want you to mature spiritually and emotionally and relationally and financially. And it's my mandate as your shepherd. And remember, please, church, please, I am not your entertainer. And those of you that are joining us online, I'm not just another channel on YouTube that you just flip through till you find something. Listen to me. I'm a pastor, a shepherd of a local church and a family of churches. And as your pastor, your shepherd, I don't beat the sheep. I feed the sheep. I'm not your master. I'm your pastor. Are y'all getting this? Say yes. I want to feed you. That's why we're going to eat at Calvary nothing but mutton. Come on, somebody. Just going to feed on Jesus. How many know that's good enough? Come on. But you see, the enemy is worried. The enemy is not worried, I think, about a whole lot of churches. The enemy is worried about scared to death, I think, of a multitude of believers who have put away childish things. The enemy is not worried about a childish church. But a church that's growing, committed to maturing in their righteous identity in Christ. So I want you to fasten your seatbelt and get your notes ready in the Calvary app, because this series every week is about, hey, it's about to make you dangerous. Seriously dangerous. So for the next 9 weeks, we are going to deal. Are you ready? Say yes. We are going to deal with maturing in our message, maturing, in our mind, maturing in our mouth, maturing in our motives, maturing in our ministry, maturing in our marriage and our relationships, maturing in our money, and last week I decided to add one more, maturing in our media. I told the team this week, this is probably going to be a quiet series. But that's all right. I love you enough to talk straight to you. Come on, somebody. Y'all ready? Say yes. Foundations are the first part of any construction. I tell you all of this simply to say, you know, this is a warning that this series contains content that, you know, may not be suitable for immature believers. So if you decide to listen, you are listening at your own risk. I don't need y'all emails and everything else. You are listening at your own risk. Do you understand that? If you want to email me, do it to kimdaly@calvarychurch.cc. See what she's got to say to you. Come on, somebody. Foundations are the first part of any construction. They're incredibly important to the durability of the building. And if not completed correctly, they can affect the strength and the resilience of the building once it's completed. And in short, without a stable foundation, a building will not be reliable and it's not going to last long. And as we start building this series, I think it's crucial that we lay the foundation first. So I decided to start with our message, maturing in our message, some very important foundational truths that I got to keep coming back to. Are consistently, these truths are neglected in the spiritual lives of many, many Christians today. And without these truths, believers cannot really mature. They cannot go on to what the Bible says, stronger meat. They cannot go on to a greater intimacy. And I've tested this observation and I've seen it proven true again and again throughout the years, both in my pastoral ministry and traveling ministry, where I've ministered God's word, and I've found that many, many believers aren't really relating to God. They are not relating to God based upon what's called new covenant realities. And in addressing Jewish believers in Hebrews 5, the Apostle Paul says this: "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come, watch, to need milk." A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. You have come to need milk and not meat, not solid food, for everyone who partakes. Watch, if you're only partaking of milk, it means you are unskilled in a revelation of faith righteousness. For he's a baby. But solid food, watch, solid food belongs to those who are full grown. See, the essence here of what Paul said was, church, I can't speak to you as mature men and women of God because your foundation is not solidly laid. If there's anything I've seen over the last few years as we talk about all the circumstances going on in the world, is a church that does not have a solid foundation based in faith righteousness. You don't believe me? Just look at what we say and look what we're posting on social media. A bunch of nonsense. And truth be told, for many, many years of my life and ministry, that was who I was. I'm pulling the curtain back here for you to see. I was stuck. I was spiritually stuck. I couldn't go on with God because I had a faulty foundation and I didn't even know it. And I talk about it, a lot about it in my book, Limitless, The Life You Were Meant to Live. But believe me, lack of information was not my problem. I knew more than you. My head swam with much Christian knowledge from growing up in church and attending Bible school and studying concordances and commentaries. However, this massive amount of information that I'd accumulated from the years spent in preparation for and later being involved in full-time vocational ministry did not adequately address my real need. Well, finally, I came to the point in my life when I realized that I could not really go on with God because a solid foundation had never been properly laid in my own heart. Watch, Paul calls it a foolish builder. I was not a wise builder, I was a foolish builder. A lot of us are building our lives that way. We're foolish builders. I was a foolish builder. Why? Thinking I could build a monumental structure without a strong foundation. Right? I thought heaven, and here's what the church don't realize, I thought heaven would issue a building permit even though the foundation hadn't passed the specification of the building code. And Paul said, I'm a wise builder, a foundation has been laid, and when's the church gonna get it? The foundation is Christ. And as I came to this pivotal place, and many of you are coming there, or have already come, or you're gonna come during this series, the Lord began to reveal to me that I am now living in what's called the new covenant, not the old. Watch, God didn't change, but the basis of my relationship with him did. And the fundamental difference lies in the fact that I am no longer trusting in my own righteousness, but rather in Christ. Do you see it? Paul said in Hebrews 5, we just read it, that a revelation of faith righteousness, that's the meat of God's word. It's the nourishment of the mature, not babies, not babies, not babies. Babies live on milk. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. Milk, old covenant, law, works righteousness. Meat, new covenant, grace, faith righteousness. So when my spiritual eyes were open to God's grace and the gift of righteousness, God himself all of a sudden stepped out of the types and the shadows of the old covenant to fully reveal himself in the new covenant through his son. So why is the good news still news for so many? What is the news? Why is it so good? Most believers haven't heard that the righteousness that you and I both need comes to us, watch, as a free, free gift. Just like everything else when it comes to grace, it's all a gift. Righteousness is a free gift from the Lord. Watch, no strings attached. There's simply no way to be righteous other than to receive the gift of righteousness by faith. For in the gospel, he said what? A righteousness. This is the power of the gospel. A righteousness that is revealed. Look at from faith, by faith, from first to last. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, I'm going to teach the book of Romans. Quick, is a letter. And this letter is one of, I think, the single most history-changing letters ever written. In fact, it would not be, I think, an overstatement to call it the single most impactful piece of literature in the last 500 years. I love the Bible. I love the Old Testament. I love the New Testament. And I love the Old Testament a lot more now that I understand that I'm not under its arrangements. The Old Testament is the inspired word of God just as much as the New. And it was written, watch, for me, but it was not written to me. And understanding that reality has revolutionized my relationship with God. By the way, that word testament. Testament is the word covenant, will. And when I say that we aren't under the Old Testament, I'm saying that we aren't under the Old Covenant, which is, watch, the law of Moses given to the ancient Israelites, God's chosen people, to bring forth the Messiah, the Savior to the world. You see, the law was given, the Bible says, through Moses in order to show God's ancient people what it would require in order to be righteous or in order to be in right standing with him. And if you know anything about the law of Moses, you know that it was far more complex than just the big 10. We call it the 10 commandments. And by the way, the 10 commandments alone would be enough to convict any of us in the court of law. Because if we told the truth, we've all lied. You know, we've all stolen. We've all coveted. We've all, you know, been unfaithful in some area of our life. But when you get into the weeds of the law of Moses, you get into more than 600 other rules and regulations and rituals that the ancient people of God were commanded to follow. In fact, some of it sounds completely ludicrous to us today in 2022. Did you realize that as an ancient Jew under the law of Moses, you were not allowed, are you ready for this, to eat pork or shellfish? Can you imagine no bacon? Come on, somebody. Mixed fabrics in your clothing. That means if you chose today your little cotton polyester blend, you're deep in sin today. The Bible says if you trim your beard improperly, that means I'm in trouble. Come on. It says if you show up empty-handed to a party, I actually like that one. Come on. And guess what? The Apostle James says that to stumble in keeping just one of these 600 plus commands in God's law, he says, is to be guilty of breaking the whole thing. In other words, God's old covenant law is an all or nothing proposition. It is a pass or fail test, which leads any reasonable person to ask a very important question. Why in the world would a God, a loving God, be so strict with the rules that he made? And I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to bring us to communion today because we got something to celebrate. But it leads us to this subject, which is maturing in our message, a message of righteousness, faith, righteousness. I get it when I say that. I know it's an unfamiliar word to many of us. It's one of those kind of big, scary theological words that most of us don't really understand, but I want to help you today. Righteousness actually comes from the root word, which was a medical term to make something straight that was once crooked. So it was used referring to a doctor resetting a broken bone. And biblically, the word righteous literally means to be set right with God. The goodness that God, it's the goodness that is good enough for God, which brings that question. Okay, why would a loving God give his people such strict rules? Why would he require such high standards of goodness? Goodness that is good enough. Why would he require a standard of goodness, a high standard of goodness, in order to be good enough for him? If y'all are getting this, say yes. Okay, let's quickly dive into this, and I mean really quick dive into this by taking just a few minutes to be reminded of the story of the Israelites. All of this is pointing to what's to come in Christ Jesus. So it's, I wish I had time to teach on all this. I don't. I want to get us to the Lord's table. But you see, long before God gave the law, covenant to Moses, 600 years before, he had made another covenant with one of Moses's forefathers, a man by the name of Abraham. And that covenant that God made with Abraham was not a law covenant. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was a grace covenant. And one of the core promises that of that grace covenant was that Abraham's people would have a land to call their own. It was called the promised land, a land flowing with abundance and provision. Oh my God, I wish I could talk prophetically. How many of you know our promised land is not a piece of real estate? It's a person. Jesus is our land flowing with abundance and provision. Come on. So you fast forward, stay with me. You fast forward to the time of Moses and you find that the Israelites have been living now under Egyptian slavery for the past four centuries, and God raised up this dude named Moses to become their deliverer, to lead them out of Egypt and into what? Into that land that originally had been promised to Abraham. So think about what it must have been like. Watch. To be an ancient Israelite living on the tail end of 400 year slavery, the Egyptian culture, the manners, the customs, the rules, the regulations, the gods, the goddesses would have all become so familiar to you that the God of Abraham would have been little more than the stuff of, you know, legend. Just a story about your history that you assumed was gone. So by this time, the Israelites had heard some of this ancient Jewish stories passed down by tradition, but they'd lost track of any relevance that these stories might still have in their own lives. In other words, watch. The people had forgotten about the land of promise, but the Lord had not forgotten. Even when you are faithless, he remains faithful. And when he delivers the people through the Red Sea, another powerful picture. When he delivers the people through the Red Sea into their freedom, the Bible lets us know that his intention is to lead them directly into that place of promise. And yet what happens? Hello, church. The Israelites don't understand how to handle their freedom. And I'm going to say that again just in case anybody here can identify. The Israelites did not understand how to handle their freedom. Does that sound familiar in today's world? Ironically, there are many modern day Christians and churches living just like this. They don't know what to do with the freedom that they have been given in Christ Jesus, which is why so many continue to live under law and legalism, and why so many in the church are still tired, worn out, frustrated, broke, sick, and tired. Are y'all getting this? And these Israelites had been conditioned to live under the harsh rule of Egyptian slavery. For 400 years, they lived under a set of laws that dictated everything about what they were told, when to wake up, when to go to bed. Boy, you know who needs this? The immature. When do you wake up? When do you go to bed? When do you eat? When do you go to work? What do you wear? What you don't wear? In other words, they had been prisoners for so long that they didn't know how to handle their freedom now. So when you read the story, you discover that it's actually the people, God, get this, the people in Exodus 19 who tell Moses, hey, Moses, go ask the Lord to give us some rules, and whatever he says to do, that's what we're going to do. It is amazing, church, to consider the fact that it was actually the people who could not conceive of how to live a life of freedom. The people asked God for the rules, and God tells them, I can just see it. God is like, oh, all I want from you is to trust me. I'm going to provide everything you need, and I'm going to provide it for free by grace. All you do is receive it. You don't achieve it. You just receive it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. I just want you to trust me. I'm going to give you manna every morning fresh. All you can eat, buttermilk, biscuit. I'm going to supply all of your needs. I'm going to give you quail as a source of protein. As a matter of fact, you won't even need to hunt them. They're going to come hunting you down every day. I'm going to cause springs of water to rise up out of a desert on your journey because I want to keep you hydrated. I'm going to provide my own GPS system, a cloud that you follow by day and a pillar of fire by night. I don't want you to work for me. God, can you hear this? I don't want you to perform for me. I don't want you to beg from me. I just want you to trust me. I don't want you achieving. I just want you receiving from my hand. Put one foot in front of the other, and in about 11 days, you're going to come knocking on the door of the promised land. If y'all are getting this, please say yes. But they couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle it. Freedom was way too dangerous for them. How would they keep themselves accountable? How would they, you know, feel like they, you know, were doing their part if all I do is trust? I just trust God for a free lunch every day. How could they know for certain that this God of their forefathers really would come through on his promises to provide? So they acted childish. And the Bible says that they bickered and they complained. Hello, church. Hello, church. They bickered and they complained. And they moaned and they groaned. And they disobeyed God and Moses. And they fought and they grumbled. The immature. And they fought with each other until finally, by their words and by their action, they asked God, watch this. We don't want a relationship. We don't want a grown relationship. We want A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Point 1, point 2, point 3. I can't trust a relationship. Give me rules. 1, 2, 3. Don't that sound like most churches? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Do 1, 2, 3. No wonder y'all worn out. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 3 steps to this, 10 days to this, 21 days to this. And you get there, and what do? Move the finish line. And God, with what I can only imagine, was tears in his eyes, basically says, okay, I feel like this is what the Lord allowed in my life. Okay, man. Boy, see, some of you are there right now. Okay, if that's the way you want it, if you don't want to just trust me, if that's the way you want it, if you'd rather relate to me on the basis of law than love, if you'd rather relate to me, hello, church, on the basis, hello, church, hello, modern church, you'd rather relate to me on the basis of fear than faith. You'd rather relate to me on the basis of trying than trusting. Condemnation rather than affirmation. Then here you go. If that's what you want, then here are the demands. And God, through Moses, the Bible said, gave them 613 rules, regulations, and rituals, as if to say, if you really want to try, righteous, if you really want to try to be good enough for me on your own straight, here's what's going to take. If that's what you want, go for it. Good luck. Have fun. And that's the point in the story where God reveals that the only standard of goodness, righteousness, the only standard of goodness that is good enough for him, watch, is absolute perfection. You see, God's plan from the beginning, from the from the moment he introduces himself to Abraham is that his people will relate to him on the basis of grace and the freedom that it brings. But it's the people filled with all kinds of fear of what freedom might look like who tell God that they'd rather relate to him on the basis of rules. I don't want a relationship, I want rules. And for the remainder of the Old Testament story up until the time of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, God's people are under the law. Then Jesus came born under the law to bring them out, to deal with it. They had asked for it, under the law that they had asked for. So why did God give his people the law? Watch. In order to show them the impossibility of reaching that standard of goodness, that righteousness, by their own efforts. See, some of you think, if I just keep the law, God will be pleased with me and I'll be right with him. I'll be good enough for him. No, that's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to show you that you couldn't do it, because if you could do it, you wouldn't need Jesus. Do I got anybody here today that knows they need Jesus? Come on, clap your hands. And no, you can do better than that. Come on. There's going to be a lot of teaching, but go ahead, clap your hands, open up your mouth, and I need at least 300 of you shout, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. So fast forward again. I'm going quick. A lot of teaching. Are y'all getting anything? 1,500 years after the Exodus from Egypt, Jesus Christ has now finally completed his work. It's a finished work of redemption through the cross and the resurrection. And this dude named Paul, hello, theme text. Paul, who was raised under a very strict interpretation of that law, Paul is set free from that bondage by a supernatural experience with grace himself in Acts 9. But this is where we come to the book of Romans, because in this book, more than any other book that Paul wrote, Paul, with this revelation, wrote most of your New Testament. He goes into painstaking detail about how God chooses to give his people, watch, another deliverer greater than Moses. How many of y'all know at Calvary Church, we moved our pulpit a long time ago. Our pulpit is not Mount Sinai. Our pulpit is Mount Zion. There's a greater deliverer, greater than Moses, another deliverance even greater than that of Egypt, and another series of promises even greater than those that he gave to Abraham. And in the opening chapter, what does he do? Now do you get it? Hey. For in the gospel, the good news, the righteousness of God, not your righteousness, but the righteousness of God is revealed. This is the power of the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed, and it's a righteousness, watch this, that is not by works, but it is by faith. From first, God's faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous, they live by faith. And this verse sets the tone for the entire book of Romans. And if you want to study the entire book of Romans, you have got to check out year one of Gospel Institute, a ministry of Calvary Church. We have the entire book of Romans, gospelinstitute.cc. And I'm telling you, just quickly before communion, I just want you to write down three big ideas. What does it mean if we're going to mature in this message? Maturing in our message means, write it down. I don't have time to teach it today, but I am going to set us up. Maturing in our message means this. Watch this. Can I talk to somebody today? On your worst day and in your darkest hour, boy, you're maturing in your message when you know that you are now good enough for God. Wow. See, law-based religion will continue to ruthlessly tell you, see, that's why some of you are so tired that you got to do more. You haven't done enough. That God loves you, but he doesn't really like you so much. That he tolerates you, but he's a little embarrassed by you. And if you go too far, he may just turn his back on you. But thankfully, that is not true. Can I just speak over somebody today? In your worst moment, in your darkest hour of shame and guilt and regret and stumbling and fumbling, God says, and may you hear the Spirit of God today, you are good enough for me. And not only do I love you, but he says, I like you. Is that all you got, church? Come on, you slow, but you're worth waiting for. Come on. Somebody say it out loud. Say, that's good news. All right, secondly, I told you it's quick. Secondly, maturing in our message means, and watch this, on your best day, And in your brightest hour, you know you cannot look down on others. Okay? Okay, there's a whole lot of that going on. You see how this works? See, isn't that immature? I'm better than you. I'm better than you. And it means you're free from the religion game of feeling superior over someone else because of your impressive religious or moral achievement. See, religious folks, watch. Religious folks now, they into image management. The popularity games, you know. Who's in, who's out? Who's anointed and who's not? Who's holy and who's unholy? Who's important and who's just average? And one of the biggest black eyes upon the church today is the fact that so many people outside the church avoid the church altogether because they're afraid they're going to be judged and condemned if they ever darken the door of our local churches. But ironically, what's crazy is Jesus shows up and was always making the religious folks angry because of who his friends were. Lepers, prostitutes, gamblers, drunks, tax collectors, sinners. Oh, yeah, and way down there at the bottom, even the self-righteous. And the reality is that if the church of Jesus Christ is not attracting people Jesus attracted, then I don't know if we're really declaring and demonstrating the same gospel that Jesus declared and demonstrated. What am I saying? What am I saying? I know we've got caught up in the church in all kind of noise, preaching politics more than the person of Christ. Maturing in our message, a revelation of faith righteousness, is what finally frees us from the ugly disposition of self-righteousness. And it makes you attractive to those who don't yet know Christ. Because of how comfortable you finally are in your skin, it's the gospel that gives you your life back. It's the gospel that finally made me comfortable in my own skin. Guess what? I was finally okay being Ben. Knowing that Christ wanted to live his life in and through my unique personality. I didn't have to try to be anybody else, but I got to be a beautiful part of the body of Christ. Because like it or not, you need Ben daily. And I need you. Come on, we need each other. We're a body that's fit together. And by the way, every time we see in Scripture anything going on, it's Christ, not just an individual, but it's Christ living his life in and through a unique body, a church. That's why we need the one another's. That's why I'm telling you, this thing ain't an online thing. I'm thankful for it, but the church is not an online thing that you flip through like you watching television, picking your favorite entertainer. Let me tell you something. We need each other, one another. Why? Because that's how I mature. I'll never mature without being around some folks who can help knock the rough edges off of me. Are y'all getting this? Immature people run from relationships. Mature people, grown people, can have relationships. Are y'all getting this?
Well, Pastor, I just can't go anymore. You know, I was hurt.
Welcome to the club.
Well, I'm just looking for the perfect church. Please don't. If you are, don't come here, because if we are perfect, you're going to ruin it. For real. For real. And finally, I would say this, and this is a word, church. If we're going to mature in our message, it means every day and in every hour, you are walking by faith. Trust. Why? Rest. Because the most courageous thing you will ever believe in this life, watch, is that you are who God says you are. That your righteousness is identical to that of Jesus, and that this is true, watch this, even when you don't always see it, and even when you don't always feel it. But how many of you know we don't live by how we see and feel? Immature people live by what they see and feel. Watch this. Mature people live by faith. And when you're no longer preoccupied with your own self-consciousness and no longer finding validation in your own self-righteousness and no longer trusting in your own self-worthiness, that's when you are walking by faith. Because every day of your life, and I'm going to deal with this during this series, you are being lied to by the value systems of the world and an immature church, and you are being told that you don't measure up, that there's more to do in order to make God happy, that your value is found in what other people think of you. And in the face of those voices of condemnation, those voices of accusation, resting in the free gift of your righteousness is the greatest reality of faith that you could possibly express. The world is restless. The church ought to be at rest. Take a deep breath right now. Come on. Take a deep breath. You see, the gift of righteousness is not something we receive in little doses along the road of life. It's a gift given in totality the moment you place your trust in Jesus. Well, what about maturity? What about maturity? See, you didn't hear what I said. You didn't hear what I said. The moment you trust Christ, you're as righteous as you will ever be. But I didn't say you are instantly as mature as you'll ever be. Because growing in grace is a process that takes place over time. But becoming righteous is not a process. It is an event. It's an ever-present reality. The moment that you simply received life, the Christ life. Come here, baby. Don't be scared of your pastor. See, watch. Stay with me, baby. Watch. I thought about this. It's okay. It's okay. Listen to it. In much the same way that a newborn baby, this baby is just as human as an elderly person. So also a newborn believer is just as righteous as a mature believer. Are y'all getting this? And spiritual maturity, sometime you need a pastor. Come on, somebody. But spiritual maturity happens as we what? Grow in our propensity for expressing outwardly that which is already true of us inwardly. Okay, watch. As a dad, that's what's so awesome about kids in a local church. As a dad, a church like Calvary, a family, my job as a father is not to teach my kids how to eventually become a daily. And it'll happen with your determined effort. It'll happen. No. As a father, I get to show them that because they are already unconditionally part of the daily household, watch, take a deep breath. I'm building a foundation. You are free to relax and enjoy the journey together as what? As we mature from babies to full-grown sons and daughters. And Paul, even when he gets to Romans 12, what does he say? When you placed your faith in Christ, you instantly received a brand new heart, but your mind wasn't instantly renewed. That's why he's hammering the point of the gospel. And he says in Romans 12, hey, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. What's the pattern? The pattern of self-righteousness and self-improvement and self-salvation and self-worthiness. All of this stuff, pulling yourself up by your bootstrap. So he says, don't be conformed to that pattern, but instead, look what he says, you simply be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Take your hand, set it right here out loud. Say, I've been given the mind of Christ. This morning I was studying in Isaiah where it says, God's thoughts are not my thoughts and God's ways are not my ways. And I have quoted that over and over and over again, like God's thoughts are not my thoughts and God's ways are not my ways. But today, for some reason, I read the verse right above that where it says, hey, I'm talking to you, the unrighteous. And besides it being written pre-cross, the reality is, as a new covenant believer, God's thoughts are my thoughts. And God's ways are my ways. I'm talking to the righteous. Why? When you allow the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. Whatever you need this year, grown folk realize, I've already got it. I've already got it. As a matter of fact, the struggle, the circumstance, the situation, lift up your hands right now all over this place. Say, I already have the mind of Christ. Now say, Holy Spirit, illuminate wisdom, truth, life, freedom. And there's going to be days that you forget. And you start believing in ways that are contrary to who you truly are and what you truly possess. It's my privilege. It's our privilege as a church to gather together. One contemporary translation says, don't forsake gathering together to remind each other. Do you know why we're in gospel circles? Why you should host? Because I've got to be reminded. Why? Because I forget. Do you want to know why church is essential? Why we gather? Why this year is a year of restoration? I don't care what's going on in the world. I'm declaring a church will understand, wow, I've got to be reminded of everything that's mine. The world will tell you, you're sick and going to die. Remind me that in Christ, I'm the healed of the Lord. The world will tell you, you lack and you're not going to make it. Somebody remind me that my God will supply all of my needs. The world will tell you, the years are lost. They've been lost by swarming locusts. Somebody remind me, He's the God of restoration. And He'll restore more than before. Remind me. Show up and remind me. Take me by the hand and remind me. Under the old covenant, you were righteous because of what you did. Watch this. Under the new covenant, you're righteous because of what He did. And you are declared, lift up those hands, you are declared righteous. Recreated to be like God in true righteousness. And what does God want you to do with that gift? I declare over this house now, as we launch into this series for the next 9 weeks, He wants you to receive it. He wants you to walk in it. He wants you to mature in it. He wants you to rule and to reign with Him in righteousness. I declare over you, life will not reign over you. You will reign over it. I remind you today who you are. I remind you today who you are. I remind you today, you are a new creation at the very core. I remind you today, you already have everything you need for life and godliness. I remind you today, you have become a partaker of His divine nature. I remind you today, you aren't just a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I remind you, I reattach. We remember. That's why we're coming to the Lord's table. We remember, we reattach ourselves to these realities. We are reminded in the name of Jesus. And if I have a church that believes it and receives it, clap your hands and give God the best praise you've given Him all year long. Come on.
Come on, you can do better than that. Clap your hands and give him praise. I remind you today that he's faithful. I remind you today that you got more than enough. I remind you today that he will guide you and lead you and protect you and carry you and be patient with you and love you. I remind you today in the name of Jesus. Give God praise right now.
Grab those communion elements. Come on, grab it. Do this in remembrance. Do this in remembrance. Reattach yourselves to these realities. Get that bread in your hand. Get that juice. Boy, we're going to deal with the mind next week. Then we're going to deal with the mouth. But we're starting with our message. You know what I've realized, church, and I'm so thankful that the gospel is what gives me the freedom to go to areas in my shadow self that I don't want to deal with, areas of immaturity in my life, and the gospel gives me the freedom to go to those areas and know that Jesus wants to heal me. Some of us don't want to process pain. We'd rather numb it. With what? We numb it with bad stuff and good stuff. Morality, bad, good, doesn't matter. We're missing life. But what if this first quarter, church, what if Calvary Church said, I've got areas of immaturity in my life, and you know what? Because of this revelation of righteousness and who I truly am, I want to know, Jesus, go to the deep areas of my life, the areas I haven't been willing to address and talk about, areas of brokenness and areas in my thinking that don't line up with who you are and what you believe and your thoughts and your purposes. And Holy Spirit, just begin to work that stuff in me. I want to begin to just think God thoughts concerning myself. Watch this. Here's when you're really grown, when you think God's thoughts concerning other people. And here's when you're really growing, when you're thinking God's thoughts concerning issues and circumstances and struggles. Take that bread, take that juice, stand with me before you walk out of this place if you can. Look at that bread, look at that juice, and be reminded of his body and his blood.
Thank you, Pastor Ben. Come on, let's thank God for the word today as we launch our series on maturity. As you're standing today and preparing the elements, let me say this. There was a time when I was an immature believer. Well, I thought this was a ritual. I thought it was a rule. But I got a revelation of a new and greater covenant. This is a reminder of what I already have. When we go before the Lord's table, like we are right now as a family, we're being reminded that we have been perfectly redeemed. We have been perfectly positioned in Christ. We're being reminded that we are perfectly righteous because of the perfect body and blood, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Today, this moment forward, never look at this moment again as a ritual or a rule. This is a reminder of how loved you are. And this is a reminder of the perfect union you have in Jesus. Let's partake together. Thank you, Jesus. I want to ask some of our elders to come to the front, and we want to position ourselves to pray with those who may not have had an opportunity. When we had our ministry moment earlier, we want to stand with you before we dismiss. I want to ask a couple of elders to come up front, please. Also, As we dismiss, I've got some friends. Our pastors are going to be in the lobby at a table. If you've got interest or you want to know more about hosting a gospel circle, we are there to answer some questions and give you some details. We want to start this year off right. Our weekend message is on maturity, but guess what? We're going to teach you how to grow up at gospel circles too as we start this spring series coming up, the spring season. Calvary, we love you. God bless you. I'll see you soon. We've got one more worship experience today at the 5. You're more than welcome to bring your families and your young people. But we love you. God bless you. Let's go forward and continue to grow in grace in this new year. Amen. You're dismissed.
There it is, Calvary, the kickoff of Mature Audiences Only. What a powerful word, maturing in our message. What does that mean, maturing in our message? What do we hear today? On your worst day, in your darkest hour, you know you're now good enough for God. On your best day, in your brightest hour, you now know that you can't look down upon others. Every day, in every hour, you're walking by faith. Make sure that you tune in next week for week 2 as we continue Mature Audiences Only. Now listen, if you didn't get a chance to give and you would like to do so, you can do that on the Calvary app or calvarychurch.cc. You can do that right now or anytime throughout the week. And if you'd like to reach out to us for a story, any questions, you can do so on our social media platforms. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your abundant mercy and grace towards us. We honor you today. Thank you today as we gather. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your bountiful provisions. We thank you for equipping and encouraging us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And we say, amen. Church, you still have time to gather with us in person here at our Irving location at 5 p.m. Thank you so much for taking, you know, your morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. We'll see you right here next week. Thank you.
We encourage you to live generously and give generously. You can do that right there online on our app by searching and downloading Calvary Church CC. You can give on our website or you can text to give by texting Calvary IRV followed by the amount to 833-245-6183.